Hi, and welcome back to the Church Renewal Podcast. I'm your host, Alan Edwards. The Church Renewal Podcast is a ministry of Flourish Coaching. At Flourish, we exist to set ministry leaders free with the gospel to be effective wherever God has called them. In this episode of the podcast, we're continuing our series on Renewal 101, the basic building blocks of leading change and gospel renewal in the local church. And today we're tackling the subject of strategic planning for you. That's you, the ministry leader. So often in ministry, it feels like the crunch and pressure of time collapses in on us, and many ministry leaders are so focused on putting out fires and the urgent tasks that they never have time to get to the things that are important to them. In today's episode, Flourish's Executive Director Matt Bowling gives some strategies, not just for your hands, things you can do differently to get better control of your time, but also for your heart, so that you as a ministry leader can be more effective in how you're using your time. If this has been a problem for you, we totally understand. It is so common among pastors and church leaders. So we would love to talk to you about it. You can always reach us on Facebook, Flourish Coaching 1, that's Flourish Coaching and the number 1 on Facebook, or contact us through the web, flourishcoaching.org/contact. All right, let's dig into the ways that Jesus is renewing his church through the way you, the ministry leader, use your time. Hey, Matt, welcome back to the podcast. Are you consuming lots of podcast material during this tail end of the social distancing season here?
I actually have just been able to get back into podcasts. Our listeners may not know that I've been working on my doctoral ministry. So my doctoral classes basically are all consuming, from reading and writing and things like that, from January until mid-May. And so got through my classes, kind of got my brain back again, and now I'm just beginning to listen to podcasts again and really enjoying it, actually. So glad to be back in that stream of not doing compulsed reading. Sorry, professors.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to lie. I don't listen to a lot of, I listen to some ministry-related podcasts, but I listen to some news stuff, and I've also started listening to some, this might turn our listeners off. I've listened to some real play, like Dungeons and Dragons podcasts that are pretty hilarious.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
If you look at the resume of Alan Edwards, you would assume that I have played Dungeons and Dragons, and I might've done it like 5 times, but I find the podcast world of D&D hilarious and interesting. So anyway, if that turns you off, listener, I'm so sorry.
I have a theory. I think that we enjoy being around other people that are having a good time.
Yes.
We enjoy being around other people that are having a good time. I think that explains some of the popularity of some shows, of some radio programs. I think that people that are having a good time, people want to be around somebody who's having a good time.
Well, here comes a cheesy transition. Are you ready?
Ready.
There's a lot of ministry leaders who are not having a good time because they don't have any time.
Yeah,
how's that for a cheesy transition?
That was a great, nice segue.
Yeah, so that's what we're talking about today, right? We're talking about the fact that lots of ministry leaders, lots of pastors just feel like they don't have time for anything. And in this series, right, Renewal 101, the building blocks of like leading church change and church renewal, one of the workshops that you teach, Matt, is called Strategic Planning for Yourself. It's the idea that by being strategic and thoughtful, pastors and ministry leaders can get some control over their time so that they can be more effective. Before we get into how they do that, can you, from your experience as a coach and as a pastor yourself, can you talk to us a little bit about why is it that ministry leaders feel such pressure and urgency, so out of control with their schedule and with their time?
Yeah, so I think it flows from two things. One of two things, for some people, it's a mixture. It depends a little bit on whether they are more oriented towards task or people. So we use the Berkman in our ministry. And one of the reasons is that it helps sort of map people and where they are. Every shape is made by God. It's individual, Psalm 139, right? So we're not saying that it's, we would never say that one kind of style is better than another. But if you are driven more by tasks, which many pastors are, if you're driven more by tasks, right, you feel the urgency of tasks that are left undone, right? And you feel satisfaction, conversely, from tasks that are done. If you're driven by people, you feel a compulsion towards people and towards taking care of people and loving people and communicating with people and the people that you are not getting to. The people that don't feel loved by you, the critique that you receive, right, for not caring for people, that pulls at you. And so it's the what's left undone, whether the what's left undone is relating to people or is getting tasks done, that we feel, like we can't get it all done.
Yeah. And I think a lot of guys and a lot of people in ministry, they judge themselves pretty harshly because they can't either take care of all the people or get all the tasks done. They're really hard on themselves.
Absolutely.
They walk away. A lot of guys I know walk away from a day feeling kind of defeated by that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We will get into a story later of me and sort of part of how I solved this, because my wife would tell you that I lived most of my years as a workaday pastor, as a weekly preacher, frustrated. Mm-hmm. And I was frustrated because I was absolutely unrealistic. I did not receive, to use Pete Scazzaro language, I did not receive the gift of my limits. And it took me a long time before I got there. And it was a very humbling conclusion to realize how foolish I had been for so long.
Well, before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about why this is a worthwhile activity. I think a lot of people feel like even the way we talk about this strategic planning for yourself, that doesn't sound like caring for people and pastoral work. But is, you know, what is the reason that ministry leaders and pastors need to be intentional with their time and need to focus on not just what's urgent, but what's important? Why? I mean, maybe the question is self-defining. Why do you need to focus on what's important? But why is it so important for pastors to step back and get a sense of how they're spending their time and getting some control of their time?
Yeah. So if the calling by Jesus overall for pastors, right, is that we get to participate in this thing called making disciples, right? That's what we're called into, right? And so we show that we get the love of God and we love God by loving our neighbors, right? And so we participate in this great work of seeing people come to know Jesus and be matured in him, right? And part of a subtopic of that for pastors, so we lead that whole endeavor for a congregation, we lead that endeavor. And a subtopic of that is that we equip the saints for the work of the ministry, right? That's a sub theme of our calling, right? We lead the whole thing, but in particular, we're not supposed to do all the ministry ourselves. We're supposed to equip people to do the ministry, to be deployed with their gifts in their callings, where they, you know, play, work, and live, to live out their shape in a way where they see people through their ministry, the overall ministry of the church, come to Christ and be matured in him. All of that requires a great deal of intentionality. It requires a great deal more than, well, this is what I feel like doing this week, or this is what's imposed on me by what the church has always been. This gets amped up, I think, in church renewal. It's the church renewal podcast, right? So this gets amped up in church renewal because the intentionality has to be ramped up. There are things that have to be put away and new things that have to be created. Their dynamics that have to be shifted. All of that takes a great deal of energy and time and intentionality. If you don't plan it out, you'll just get stuck in what, you know, preachers affectionately call the 7-day cycle, right? You just, oh, it's a new week, got to write a new sermon, got to write a new liturgy, have to do this meeting, need to do this meeting, right? Oh, I should really follow up with Mary. And there isn't the taking of intentional time for the transformation of the organization. The pastors will probably get critiqued by this, but what I affectionately, and I do call it affectionately, call the weekly work of the church is the machine, And it is a machine because it'll either eat you up and spit you out if you're not careful. Right. So that it's not incautiously chosen. The machine will take 80% of everybody's time. It'll take 100% of your time. It'll take more than 100% of your time if you allow it. But ideally, you should be able to get the machine done with 80% of your time, which leaves you 20% of your time for strategic initiatives. But the only way that you have that 20% of your time for, I think the next time maybe, or a couple of times down the road in the podcast here, we'll talk about strategic planning for a congregation. The only way that you can live out and actually see those objectives that you would form in a strategic planning context for a congregation, the only way that you help assure that those happen is if you have 20% of your time a week to push them forward. So this is why it's so critical, is you can't enact congregational transformation that's so frequently needed in church renewal unless you got 20% of your time to do it. And this is the only way to get 20% of your time. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So let's say for the sake of argument that a pastor is expecting, now this might be low for some people and high for others, but a pastor might be expecting himself to work between 50 and 60 hours a week, right? So he's given himself 50 to 60 hours to fulfill his vocational calling. Now we all know that like the midnight phone call and the, you know, early morning breakfast with the trusted elder who's also a friend, all those kind of things blur the lines between work and life when you're in ministry.
Sure.
But let's say 50 to 60 hours. So what I hear you saying is that somewhere between 40 and 45 hours of the week, he should, quote unquote, keep the machine running, by which I think you mean like preparing sermon lessons, if he needs to do some work on his liturgy, if he has to manage some staff, attend some meetings, the basic function of the church. Is that what you mean by keeping the machine running?
Yes, yes. It would be what Pat Lencioni talks about in the Silos book, your day job.
Okay.
And it, Silos is important. Maybe we'll link it in the show notes. Listeners of the podcast will know that I'm a huge Lencioni fan. But Silos fits here really well because it's the book where it really talks about having a couple of strategic initiatives for your organization.
Okay.
To clarify and to bring things together.
Sorry, so going back to our example, Pastor, if he's using all 50 or 60 hours just to keep the machine running, he doesn't have any capacity to work on himself or work on the particular projects that are outside of the normal. What I hear you saying is he needs 10 to 15 hours a week to be working on the things that are not just the day-to-day, your quote unquote, your day job.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So,
and maybe this is the reason why a lot of pastors are frustrated.
Okay.
Because they don't create that time for what they know needs to be new and different and changed.
Right. So a pastor might, you know, be so enmeshed in keeping the programs of the church running, keeping his sermons produced and written, and he knows it's important to begin to build relationships with, let's say, for example, he wants to begin to build relationships with community leaders so that they can be more effective in reaching their community with evangelism and service. Okay. So if he's spending all 55, 60 hours a week just keeping the machine running, he is frustrated that he can't, the only way he can conceive of taking out the local mayor or the local superintendent to lunch is adding more time, which takes away from family, which takes away from health, which takes away from rest, right?
Oh, work-life balance is something that we commonly coach people on because this is exactly the way they try and approach it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's shift then to how does a ministry leader learn to get the quote unquote day job, quote unquote, keep the machine running in 80% of his time and using 20% of his time for those special strategic, thoughtful renewal initiatives? I think you have a story about how you began to learn that, but then I'd also love for you to share any strategic advice you have for guys being able to start to separate and block off that time.
So a couple of things. One of the things that I really recommend to guys is actually do a time study. Take a week or a couple of weeks and mark down how you use every half an hour. Right?
Okay.
And actually see how your time is spent over the course of two typical ministry weeks. You're going to be surprised. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. Things like drive time. You might be embarrassed.
Yeah.
You might be heartened that the 15 minutes that you spent in the shower thinking about your sermon, how many of those bits happen in the week for a pastor, that you spend a half an hour in your day off talking with your wife about this counseling situation, right? That was a half an hour work, not a half an hour on your day off. That wasn't a half an hour off. That was a half an hour working. And so I think you're going to be surprised in what that variety could look like. So I think that the only way that you can begin to squeeze it down to 80% is to see what you're doing. And then maybe the story you were alluding to is, what are you trying to do? I lived a lot of my pastoral life very frustrated at what I wasn't getting done week by week. It really was difficult on my wife. She would say things to me like, well, it'll be there tomorrow when you get there. And she thought that was good news. It's so funny how two people can look at something so differently.
Sure. Yeah.
It wasn't until I took a sabbatical in 2014. So this is about 6 years ago now. I took a sabbatical in 2014 while I was still, a weekly preacher. And towards the end of it, I knew that this was one of the issues that I really needed to deal with. And that, frankly, the Lord wanted to deal with me, was that it just wasn't fair to everybody around me to be constantly in a state of frustration about what I wasn't getting done.
Right.
And so I took what I wanted my weeks to look like, and I wrote down, here's the things that I want to do, and here's the time that I think it takes to do it. And then I started to take those, and I started to create what I call a block schedule, which is that you have a chunk of time in a week. We teach people how to do this, as a coaching clients, things like that. But take a particular thing, isolate a block in a week, and the thing always goes in that block every week,
right?
Including that one of those blocks was, I always had Tuesdays and Thursdays for lunches with people in church. I always had afternoon coffee times or beer or whatever, I had morning times, right? So I had plenty of relational chunks that were sacrosanct, sermon prep chunks and other kinds of liturgy chunks and whatever that were sacrosanct. And I had, time off was sacrosanct. Exercise was sacrosanct. So you just make a lot of things sacrosanct,
right?
When I started to take the list of things that I wanted, the chunks of time I wanted to have in a week, and I started to map them across a week, and I was realistic about the time that things took, I got to the end of my 168 hours before I got done with my list of things I wanted in a typical week. And I went, you idiot. It's no wonder you've been frustrated all these years. You've been trying to do something that nobody could possibly do. It didn't matter if I managed my time better. My aspiration was higher than the available hours I had.
Mm-hmm. So then you cloned yourself and you had two of yourselves running in parallel. I totally understand. This is great. Great advice. If you would like to hire Flourish to clone you, we have
to clone yourself. Yes, exactly.
Okay. So you
right. So what did I have to do?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you come to this realization that there are more good things to do than there is Matt to do them.
Right. And then you have to figure out which of those things am I going to choose to do? Which will I, this is a, we love Matt Perman and What's Best Next. We'll link it in the podcast, the show notes. But, which things could I delegate? This is a Matt Permanism. Which things could I delegate? Which things could I eliminate? Right. Which things could I automate? And which things could I defer? That's his DEAD. That's Matt Perman's DEAD acronym. So some things I learned to delegate. Other things I began to say, do I really need to do that? Other things I automated. There are pastors who are really good at liturgy. They love crafting liturgy. That's just the highlight of their week. It was not for me. I never developed a great love. I had a great love for preaching, not a great love for liturgy. And so I figured out a way to automate the way that we created liturgy so that it was a quality gospel-shaped liturgy that had variety, that hung together well, that was easy to lead, and that blessed people, but also required very little of me week by week. Now, that's a choice that I made. Not every pastor would make that choice, but it was. But I automated it so that it didn't take a lot of my time because there wasn't a lot to be gained there for my congregation or for me. Right. To do that. There are things in all of our jobs that are repetitive tasks that we can learn to automate. Right.
Right.
And then it, the last of permins is to defer. Can you save that? Can you carry that over into the next day, into the next week? Mm-hmm. And a lot of the things, you know, if you think, you know, Eisenhower box, right? Urgent. So many things feel, you know, Eisenhower boxes, two axes, urgent and important. The things that are urgent and important always get done. A sermon is urgent and important every week. So is a liturgy, right? Mm-hmm. A monthly session meeting is an urgent and important, right? The things that have to happen. And the machine, by and large, that 80% fits in urgent and important, which means that if you don't box that in to be only 80%, you'll never get to important, non-urgent. Mm-hmm. Which is the other part of the Eisenhower box that you have to plan the time to do it. And so if you don't have project time, for example, in your block schedule, when project time comes up in your block schedule, you go, oh, okay, it's time for me to put this down and to pick up, okay, where are we at this week on our strategic initiatives and what do I need to do to make those balls roll a little bit farther down the field, right?
Yeah.
But if you have that in your block time schedule, then you may go do it, right?
Right.
And that's why the concept of it I find so immensely helpful. I'm just writing about this actually for the blog. The blog will probably come out earlier than this podcast does, but I am writing a quite long piece for the blog. It'll be probably at least a two-parter. And I'll put a bunch of references in it, but we'll put a few in the show notes here as well, I think.
Okay. Great. Yeah, I was just gonna say let's do that. So I'm listening to you. I'm feeling that internal urgency and that tug and that desire to get some control of the schedule. I agree that if I'm going to be on mission with Jesus, I need to do the things that are important. And so I want to take some practical steps to do that. You've mentioned some good resources like Lencioni's book on silos, Perman's book on what's best next, a tool called the Eisenhower box, another tool called a time study. We'll give these we'll give links and information about these resources. Right? So if we're talking about people who feel like they have too much to do, and we're recording a podcast telling them if you feel like you have too much to do, do these things, and it'll help you do better. Okay. So this might be one of those, like, the medicine tastes so bad that nobody's going to take it. How do we make this medicine, right, like what they do for kids, make this medicine bubblegum flavor? What is something that you feel like our audience needs to hear today to help them make a good decision tomorrow when it comes to managing themselves and being strategic with their time? What do they need to hear that's going to help their heart?
I think that this is a matter, I'd say a couple of things. One is you have to be sick of the way that something is in order to change it. So if you're sick of how your time use is going, you know it sucks and you want it to be different, it's worth investing. So I think you've got to really be kind of sick of the, I mean, I was sick of the way that I use time for most of the time that I pastored week in and week out, ate me up and spit me out. And it was not tending towards my longevity in ministry. Mm-hmm. And so this is a survival tactic, right? Right? So I think that you've got to be really convinced that this needs to be different. And so that you put the time in to do it. I think also Cal Newport, and we'll put these in the show notes. Cal Newport has written two books that I think are really critical for pastors to read. And I think that we don't realize how much of our work is deep work, as Newport puts it, and how much of it ought to be. And that's really, we are too prone to use our notifications, right? And to be distractible and to really allow ourselves to be subject to what the culture tells us the good life is, instead of really taking the time to put everything aside for 2 hours and just work on something and feel the satisfaction of that.
Right.
So I think you've kind of got to be sick of it, and you've got to go, you know what, this, the way I'm going about this, the way I'm living life, this may not tend towards my longevity in ministry. And so this is really, it's about survival of learning how to do these deep work things.
Yeah.
Well,
let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Matt. Is it okay for a ministry leader to intentionally take a 2 hour chunk every week to go for a walk and talk with God open-ended? Are ministry leaders actually really free to do that?
The Father is way more interested in you spending that kind of time with him than you are. I think that God, if Jesus tells us, vine and the branches, John 15, right? What did I call you into my kingdom for? To bear much fruit. However, that bearing much fruit only happens when you're tapped into me, because you know what? Actually, you can do nothing by yourself. How much are we trying to do by ourselves? Our prayer life reveals how much we're trying to do by ourselves, or our lack of prayer life. That is one of the things that was in my block. Alan knows this, why he led me this way. That was one of the things in my block, was to get out every week for a long prayer walk, because it was survival for me, because my heart's so messy and ministry's so hard that it was survival.
Well, Matt, I hope that our listeners get from us that being strategic with your time, strategic planning yourself, is not about adding more to the to-do that you already can't do, but freeing you, because what Jesus thinks about you, Pastor, matters more than what you think about yourself and more than what others think about you. That if you begin to be prayerfully, Holy Spirit-led, strategic with your time, you will actually be more effective than the rat race you are currently losing.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Yeah. Well, thanks, Matt. We'll get together again real soon, and we'll be talking about how to lead strategic planning for your congregation and why that's important for the building blocks of church renewal. You've been listening to the Church Renewal Podcast today. It's a ministry of Flourish Coaching. I'm Alan, the Ops Director at Flourish, and I'm your host. Our guest today has been Flourish's Executive Director, Matt Bowling, who is a former local church pastor and a pastoral coach himself. If you are benefiting from these conversations about renewal and the church, come out and visit us online. Find us at flourishcoaching.org. You can contact us there. You can give to support the ministry and the podcast as we bring coaching and training and content to local church pastors that help affect the renewal of local congregations. You know, the reason that we do this is that Jesus is still gathering a people to himself. That's really the only sufficient reason that this day dawned. And the ordinary way he does that is through the local church. So join us as we explore the ways that Jesus is renewing his church.